Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Your colleague Brad Berzer has this at the Imaginative Conservative Magazine website: the 10 points of Tolkien's politics. Now, knowing that you are a Tolkienite and an authority on the subject of Tolkien, his first point was that Tolkien was a conservative and a Burkean. His wife confirmed the former, and C.S. Lewis's letters seem to confirm the latter. Second, though a conservative, Tolkien was not a very devout Tory, sometimes mocking Winston Churchill. Is there a current of, not feudalism, I guess I would call it republicanism, but smallest is still beautiful, running throughout Tolkien's most famous work, Lord of the Rings?
Yes, absolutely. And I did actually read that article by Brad Berzer, 10 Points of Tolkien's Politics, and it is actually excellent. I'm not sure that Tolkien would have been comfortable with a label such as conservative, because he would see that it came with baggage he didn't necessarily agree with. But yes, you know, in Tolkien's life, in his letters and in his works, not least of which is The Lord of the Rings, there's an ethos of basically what we would understand to be Catholic social teaching, an ethos of subsidiarity, solidarity, the Chestertonian idea of distributism. It's all there, if you like, as the political philosophy that underpins the very ethos of The Lord of the Rings.
Now, and it's not accidental then. So in the movies, and you'll forgive me, I haven't read the book in decades, but in the movie, in the film, in the Peter Jackson films, Jackson does begin his story in the Shire, which is the village, which is in scale. They make their own beer. They've got their own livestock running around. They've got all the green garden and all the produce going around. This is the idyllic, I-D-Y-L-L-I-C. This is the idyllic world that Mr. Sam and Frodo want to return to. That's not by accident either, is it?
No, it's not. And to give credit to Peter Jackson where it's due, I think that the way he portrays the Shire in the first of the Lord of the Rings movies is actually done very, very well. It does evoke that idyllic understanding of an agrarian community very well, as does Tolkien's book in the opening chapters, the feeling of the Shire. That's where Tolkien's at home. Tolkien's at home in something which feels like home, and the village feels like home. Whereas the megalopolis does not feel like home. It's a place where people are systematically alienated.
And this isn't by accident either. You leave the Shire, you leave the homeness and the smallness and the beauty and the small grandeur of the Shire, and then place by place by place by place, there's always sprawl. Everything else is bigger. It's even the elf land. Everything is bigger than the Shire. The castle where the Last Stand is made is bigger than the Shire. The catacombs through it, where the orcs are dug up from the mud and all that. It's sprawling. It's large. It's definitely the Lord of the Rings is definitely a social commentary of sorts on scale. Another one of your favorite subjects, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't understand the Lord of the Rings unless we understand the beauty of smallness, the beauty of the Shire, the beauty of the individual. I mean, who are the hobbit? Who are the heroes? The heroes of the Lord of the Rings are not giants, but hobbits. In other words, diminutively sized people who are much smaller than everybody else that they come along with. They're smaller than elves, they're smaller than men, they're smaller than wizards. Everybody they come across, they're the small ones, they're the little people. But it's the little people that if you like, are their heroes, because ultimately it's the exaltation of the humble, which is, of course, profoundly Christian concept.